Okay, that's good. Now, last Sunday, that's all right, thanks. Last Sunday, my wife, Kate, made us a sponge cake for tea. It was gorgeous. Here you go. It was so gorgeous, I took a picture of it. It was bigger than that. But it was lovely. It was really, really nice. And as I ate it, my brain started working, and I thought, well, you know, what a wonderful thing cake is. Do you agree? It's cake, a wonderful thing. It's amazing. Who invented cake? Do you know? Was it a Mr. Cake? I don't know. Who invented cake? Who knows what goes into cake? Mr. Kipling. That was an exceedingly good reply. Who knows what goes into cake? Anybody? Any ideas? Yes. Eggs. Eggs go into cake. Yes, Josh. Flour. Yes, there was something else. Sorry? Butter. Butter or margarine or something greasy. Steph. Oops. That was it. Sorry? Love. Love. Absolutely. What an excellent reply. Thank you. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Don't worry. We'll either be much longer or much shorter than we were going to be. I don't know. But thank you, Ron. So all those things go into cake. So I got to think, well, that's amazing. But can you imagine, how did people get the idea? Where does flour come from? Supermarket? No, it comes from wheat, doesn't it? So somebody must have worked out, if you ground wheat to make flour and you mixed it with butter and eggs, then you get this amazing thing called cake. That is amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine? Presumably, because God made the wheat and the cows to make the butter and the eggs and the chickens to make the eggs. Don't know which came first. But God made all that. And presumably it wasn't a surprise to God that when he mixed all these things up, you came up with cake. Presumably he knew when he made them that sooner or later the human race was going to discover cake. Isn't that a thought? Can you imagine God thinking, oh, this is going to be amazing. When they come up with cake, they're going to be so pleased. I can imagine God getting excited about when we would come round to discover cake. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't that a lovely thought? Because God gives us all these things to enjoy. And that's an amazing thought, that he would get excited about us discovering cake. And then we got to thinking, this became a discussion at the table then, and we've gone to thinking, well, wonder what else there is that we haven't yet come up with that we're going to really enjoy in the future. Can you imagine God now kind of with a twinkle in his eye thinking, wow, it's going to be amazing when they come up with that. That is going to be such a thrill for them. Because God gets excited when we appreciate his good gifts. But you imagine how bad it will be. Well, let's go on to see what the Bible says about this. The Bible says this. Where do all these good gifts come from? The Bible tells us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. When it says the Father of the heavenly lights, it means God. God has given us all these amazing gifts. All the good, as Stuart has said, all the good gifts we have in life come from one place. They come from God himself. So we've just called out all the things that... some of the things that we should we're thankful to God for. But only some of us did that. So what I'd like to do is all of us, every single one of us, to think about one good thing in life that we're really thankful for. If it's cake, then that's fine, but it might be something else, okay? And then on the count of three, I'll give you a little bit of time to think. On the count of three, I want you to shout out what that one thing is, okay? Now, we won't be able to hear them all, but God will hear them. So I'm going to say thank you for... And then you call it out, okay? Have you got that? You thought of something yet? Yeah. Okay. One, two, three. Thank you, God, for sport.
Bananas.
That was clever, because everyone got to hear that one. That was good. So God has given us all these good things. That is amazing. But how are we to respond to that? How should we respond to the good things he's given us. Well, you know, God made all of those things that you called out. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He was there at the beginning. God said, remember Genesis chapter 1, it says, God said, let there be. And then all the things that he created. And then it says, and there was. But you know what the Bible later on tells us? Is that it was his Son, Jesus, who made it. God said, let there be. And then Jesus carried out his decree, his command, and made those things. So Jesus was there making all those things at the beginning. And so how should we respond to this amazing truth that he has made the things? Well, the first thing is very simple, isn't it? We've got to give thanks to him. We started to do that this morning. Imagine when Kate made that lovely cake there, and I just, you know, reached over rudely, picked up a slice, gobbled it up, and I said nothing to her. Can you imagine how she must have felt if I would have done that? Of course, I wouldn't dream of doing that, would I? If I just carried on being grumpy to her and surly, imagine how she would have felt. You know, the truth is I do sometimes forget to thank her for all the things she does for me and all the way she blesses my life. I do, and sometimes I'm even grumpy towards her. That's sad, isn't it? It's sad. I hang my head in shame. But here's the thing. That's bad enough. But how much worse when we do exactly that to God, who has made everything. He's made everything, and he's made it, as Steph said, he's made everything with love for us. And yet often, not just sometimes, but often, we remain grumpy and we don't even bother to say thank you. That's not good, is it? That's terrible. Imagine how God feels when we take all his gifts for granted and we never thank the person who gave them to us. Or go on pretending that it all just happened by chance, that we just happened to be in this amazing world because, you know, it's just the way it happened. And so there's nobody to give thanks for. Imagine how that must feel to God when we do that. You know, we all have a tendency to do that all the time, don't we? And some people have never thanked God for anything, but they go on enjoying the gifts that he's given them. Is that right? Is that right? It's not, is it? It's not right at all. It's sad. And it makes God very sad. To ignore the great creator God, the almighty God, the great giver, who is worthy of our worship. That's not right, is it? You know, the Bible is constantly telling us to give thanks, or encouraging us to give thanks. The Psalms are full of it. There are loads and loads of Psalms which tell us to give thanks. Praise the Lord, Psalm 106. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Stuart said, we just made a start. We could be here all day and all week and all month praising him. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Oh, sorry, I've just read that one, haven't I? I've done something. I've put the same verse up twice, haven't I? And I've just realized it. Psalm 103 says, forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. That's what we so often do and what the Bible encourages us not to do. In the New Testament, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We often, adults often, we often say, oh, you know, if only I knew what God's will for me is. Should I do this job or that job? Should I go here or there? Should I do this or that? Well, here's what God's will for us is. Be joyful, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. I reckon if we got those three right, it wouldn't matter where we were or what we were doing or anything like that. He would use us anyway. So we should give thanks. And what happens if we don't? When we don't give thanks? Well, we become grumpy. We become cynical. We complain about everything. We never notice the good things in life. Or we just make them into things we worship. You know, when I called out the thing, did anyone hear what I called out? Sport. I love sport. It's great. I love to watch it. I prefer to play it. It's great. But you know, sport can very easily become an idol in my life. Something I worship, something that affects my mood. something that changes how I feel, something that I will take every opportunity to watch or see or play, and so it takes over my life if I'm not careful. And it's with all those things, I don't know whatever you called out, perhaps it was cake. Well, if you you can start to worship food, can't you? It can become the most important thing to you in life, or whatever it might be. And so if we forget to thank God, we're more likely to end up worshipping these things. Imagine building your life around eating cake whilst ignoring the cake maker. That would be ridiculous. And yet we do the same thing with our lives with God all the time. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you ignoring the person who made all these good gifts and have given them to you? Let's give thanks for all his gifts. Well, we've seen that every good gift comes from God. How should we respond to that? Well, certainly by giving thanks to God. That's the first thing. I want to give you one other way in which we should respond to God. We should respond by handing back the gifts to God. Now, I don't know if you've noticed anything about me this morning that I'm not usually doing. I'm wearing a tie. I do sometimes wear a tie, but very rarely. Okay, I quite like this tie. Hands up if you like my tie. Hands up if you like my tie. Okay. So I'm really not so sure. Okay. Right. Well, I'm kind of not that used to wearing a tie up here, so I'm going to take it off, actually. But is there anyone out there who would like to wear my tie, if you like it so much? Who'd like to? One at school?
No.
Ah, standards. What are they coming to? Dear. I'm not very good at it doing it this way around, I have to tell you. And you've no idea?
No, I don't.
Right. There we go. I don't know. I think it's a triple slough, actually. There we go. That'll do. You can tidy it up a bit later, perhaps. Okay, just stand there a minute, because everyone wants to see your tie. That's lovely. Okay, it is a good tie. It's a very good tie. Quite attached to that tie, but, you know, you can have it. You can have my tie. Okay. Well, actually, I'll tell you what. Because it is quite a nice tie, and it's very special to me, really. Can I just have a bit for myself? Is that all right? Hold on. I think I might have somewhere something that might be useful. Here we go. That'll do, won't it? I'm just going to take... I mean, you can have most of it. I'm just going to take that bit there.
That's so tight, your own tie.
Is that all right? I'll just hold on to that. It's great. But in fairness, I mean, I've only got a little bit, look, and you've got a huge... But you don't need all that, do you? You wouldn't mind, would you, if I just...
It's a bit big anyway.
A bit big anyway, thank you. Okay, I'll just take that bit off. That's great. But, you know, all this really down here, that's not the most important bit. I'll tell you what, I'll do that, right, and you can keep the knot. How about that?
Yeah,
is that great? Okay, we'll settle at that. That's lovely. Okay, it is, isn't it? It's quite fashionable. I've seen them go to school like that. Yeah. Okay, so you've got your bit and I've got my bit. Thanks very much, Daniel. Enjoy it. Okay, that'll be enough. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you can go and sit down now. That's great. There we go. You know, it's funny, isn't it? God gives us many gifts. He gives us so many things that we enjoy doing. Riding our bikes, playing with our mobile phones, all sorts of things. We love them, don't we? We enjoy doing them. But a bit, you know, a bit like what I was saying about sport earlier, sometimes we get such a grip on them that we wouldn't be prepared to let them go, even to let God use them. And this is the thing about the gifts God has given us. He's not given them to us just for ourselves, has he? He's given them to us so that we can bless other people with them. But the trouble is, you know, sometimes we hold on to them so selfishly that we're not really prepared to let them go. What happens then? What's just happened? What's just happened with that tie? Is that tie any good now? It's not, is it? No, it's not no good at all. I've got scrappy bits of tie in my pocket and Daniel's got a scrappy knot around his neck. What good is that? And you know, that's like these things that God gives us. If we just hold on to them for ourselves, or kind of give a little bit over and think we can keep back loads for ourselves, we just spoil them. We ruin them. We make them good for nothing. And that's a real shame, isn't it? You know, God wants us to say to him, thank you, Lord, for these wonderful gifts that you've given me to enjoy, but I want to hand them back to you for you to use for your kingdom. You know, to serve you, to bless others, and to build up your kingdom. That's what we saw in that passage that Stuart read, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. He said this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, Paul is referring to money there because he's taking up a collection. We don't take up a collection in our church, at least not very often. But that's what he said. Paul wants to help some believers, some Christians in Jerusalem who've had a big famine. They don't have anything to eat, and Paul wants to give them some help. And so he's taking up a collection amongst the other churches that he's planted. He's going to pass on the money to those Christians in Jerusalem. But what he says about money is the same as is true of everything that he gives us. We can hold on to these things tightly. You know, the picture is of a farmer sowing the seed, isn't it? We can hold on to the seed tightly and not sow much. Well, what happens if we don't sow much? Not much grows, does it? Or we can throw what he's given us around, give it back to God, pass it on to other people. And he says there, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He goes on to say, as Stuart read, each man should give what he's decided in his hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. In other words, you should give with joyfully, with a joyful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He's saying, when you give things away, when you give things away with a joyful heart, you don't lack the thing, you don't lack anything. In fact, God is able to give you more, much more in return. He's not necessarily referring to money. He's not saying if you give away this amount of money, you'll get 10 times that amount back. But I tell you something, nobody ever got poor through giving. Nobody ever got poor through giving. Because when you give with a joyful heart, God makes sure you have all that you need. And it's the same with everything. When you reap generously, when you sow generously, you will reap generously. Reaping, that's when you go out and harvest the grain and bring it back in. He's saying these things. Money is like seed. When you use it for God, it grows. It produces fruit for the kingdom of God. Your gifts, the talents God has given you, you know, that's a gift. We talk about our gifts, don't we? We talk about gifted people. The abilities you have that God has given you, when you use them for God, give them over to God, then God can produce fruit for his kingdom through that. That's an amazing thing. He's saying, share whatever God has given you, share with others. Share it with others, and God can use them in an amazing way. And he says, he who got, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So he's saying, when you give these things away, God can use them to produce more fruit. You sow it, it will produce more fruit. And it will produce the fruit of people being thankful to God. And that means that God will get more glory, more praise. People will think much more of him, which is what he wants. And he says, then we receive back. Because when we give, God gives back to us in so many ways. Not rich in money, as I say, but rich in joy. Rich in a sense of purpose in life, that we're serving the person who made us. And rich in pleasing the Lord. So the more we give, the more we enjoy life, the more we give back to God, and the more we receive. It's like a circle, isn't it? A spiral going upwards. That is amazing. You know, you might not think you have anything to give. You think, well, that's all very well, but I haven't got much money. I haven't got any talents to speak of. I don't have anything at all. My little bit of seed that I have just seems so small. But do you remember that time with that boy on the picnic? He'd taken his picnic and he sat with the crowd and he'd heard Jesus teach for hours and hours and hours. And do you remember he had that little picnic, but nobody else had any food. Do you remember what happened? He gave his picnic to Jesus. And how many people did Jesus feed? Yes. 5,000, yeah. 5,000 men, it says. Over 5,000 people were fed by those 5 loaves and 2 fish. He didn't have much, did he? It was just about enough for him. And yet, what did God do with it? He used it to feed those many people. You may think, oh, well, I'm not very good at this, and I'm not very good at that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Well, what do you have, and what can you do? Because although it seems very small to you, God can use it in an amazing way. But the key thing is that we hold nothing back, isn't it? I spoilt that tie because I wanted to hold something back. Just spoilt it. But we hold nothing back when we give, and then God can use it in amazing ways. I couldn't bear to part with my tie, so I cut off a bit for myself, which just spoilt it. Well, if we hold back the gifts God has given us, then we will spoil them too, because God won't be able to use them for his kingdom. So instead, let's sow for his kingdom. Let's give back the gifts to him and allow him to use them as he wants to. And that will produce a great harvest, and it will fill you with joy. And then you'll be able to praise him even more. You know, the biggest gift of all is the gift of life. That's what you said earlier, wasn't it, Abby? The gift of life, that's an amazing thing that he's given us all. It's been spoilt by our sin, of course, we know that. But that's why Jesus came to restore that gift. That's why he came to take the punishment for our sin and died our death under the curse of our sin. And more than that, he rose to new life. And he gives new life to all who trust in him. That is an amazing gift, new life. Life that is great here and now, but also will go on and on for eternity. Eternal life. That's an amazing thing. But you know, we can only receive that most important gift if we give our lives back to him. Instead of saying, it's my life and I'll do what I like with it, we say, Lord, you've given me life. Here it is. I will serve you with it. Then that's when we can enjoy life if it's meant to be. So we say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for taking the blame. I'm going to hand my life over to you so that I serve you. I'll follow you with all that I have. When you do that, then you can receive his gift of new life. And that's what we mean by becoming a Christian. And you can do that anytime. You can do that right now. Maybe there are some people here who'd like to find out more about that. Like to find out more about who Jesus is and what being a follower of him means. Well, if that's so, let me encourage you. If you're around in the daytime, you can start our next Christianity Explored course, which starts this Tuesday in the morning, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock here, Tuesday in the morning. And that'd be a great way. If you're not available during the day, but you'd still like to do a Christianity Explored course, then there'll be another one starting after Christmas in the evening. And I suggest you talk to that man in the green striped jumper, Richard, over there, if you want to know more about that. You can find out more about what it means to give your life over to Jesus and why that is such a good thing. But those are the two things then. That's how we respond to the fact that every good gift comes from God. We give thanks to God and we hand back everything we have to him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for every good gift. We thank you that your gifts are good. They do us good and they do good to other people when we pass them on in the way that you've shown us. I pray that you'll help us to do that. Help us not to hold on tight-fistedly to what you've given us. Help us to pass it back to you. And then in your amazing power, use that to be a blessing to others and to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.